All right, cool. Right, so last week we kind of went over basically what the goal for the Chabura is. And then I had initially planned maybe just to jump straight into Zoraya, just going right into the first of the Lama Tess. And then I realized it would probably be worthwhile to actually look at where in the world we get Lama Tess 39 from. So as we know, you don't just look in the Torah and have this list of 39 malachas. It just says, Lo ta'aseh kol malacha. And when you look at source one, Rashi, really the opening line of Rashi, the Dibur Maaschil, is from the Mishnah, from Bava Kamma, the first Mishnah. It says, Arba avos nizik, and there are four primary principles of damages that exist in halacha. And we call them avos, just like we call avos malachos, avos, the kind of primary principles or first principles, if you will. and Rashi's going to explain why they are called avos here. Avos krei lahanach diksivan bakra. These lahanach are called avos because they are written in psukim. They're explicit in the psukim. They're explicitly written in psukim. The Gemara mefarish hai nihu toldos, and then the Gemara will go through and tell us what the toldos of nizikin are. So obviously that definition isn't going to work for Shabbos because they're not written in Mikra. And just to note, interestingly, when I was in Rabbi Daniel Feldman's shir, he mentioned that the Vilna Gaon appears to understand Perkei Avos as being this kind of Av. That normally we translate Perkei Avos as being, you know, the ethics of the fathers, that the Avos really refers to the Tanayim who are mentioned in the Masechta, whereas the Vilna Gaon in his commentary to Perkei Avos, it's a lot of references to Pesukim. And some Midrashim and Gemara is based on those Pesukim, but it's really tracing it back to the Av, the mention in the Pesuk. Slightly different understanding of Av. In source 2, again, the Dibur Maaschil is from the Gemara this time. Arbaim Avos Malachos Chaser Achas Keneged Mi. So the Mishnah in the seventh, Perek of Shabbos, is where we have the list of the 39 Malachos, and it doesn't say 39, it says 40 minus 1. And the Gemara asks, Keneged Mi, what do they correspond to? And Tosfos is going to explain exactly what the question is. They say, "Deharbe malachos yesh de demayin lahadade." There are many malachos that are similar to one another. Bahavalan lemachshivenhu kulan keachas. And since they're so similar, we should have just counted them as one. Just especially when you think about, he's going to list an example. Actually, that's a very good example. Could a parich beper klagal, as the Gemara itself brings the paricha, the kasha, the difficulty. Hainu zore, hainu bore. The Gemara there says, well, the malachos of Zore, Borer, and Marakeid are fundamentally all about separating two different items from one another. So why do we have three different malachos? Just say they're all Borer, or they're all Zore, whatever it would be. And because, yeah, there are some minor detail differences between them, that would not have been enough for us logically to separate between them. Were it not for the fact that we have this assumption going into the whole issue that there are going to be 39 malachos. And now the Gemara is asking, fine, I that's my working assumption, but where did 39 come from? What is that corresponding to? What's the basis for it? And now things get really fascinating, because normally when we talk about 39 malachos, it's just, we take it for granted that it's from the Mishkan. Everything corresponds to the Mishkan. That's how you open up a book on, say, on Hilchos Shabbos, and it seems to just say that. It's interesting, the Gemara in Source 3, I just highlighted the two opinions. The first one is, this is the answer to that question. Keneged avodos hamishkan. The 39 corresponds to what were apparently 39 necessary acts to for the Mishkan. We'll leave it plainly like that. We'll see. It's a little more tricky in a minute. And then the other approach, and a different opinion. Keneged malacha, malachto, umeleches shebetorah. Arba'im chaser achas. And that means that's quote-unquote malacha, quote-unquote malachto, quote-unquote meleches. That's any time the word malacha or these derivations are mentioned in the Torah, They went through and counted, and apparently it's 40 minus 1. It's 39. And it happens to be the next few lines of the Gemara say, well, is that actually true? And ostensibly it's not true. And so they say, well, why don't you just bring a Sefer Torah and we'll count? And it really begins a dispute about certain pasukim. One pasuk by Yosef going into the house of Potiphar, where he's, the pasuk describes he went there to do his melachto, lasos melachto. Do we count that pasuk? And then also with the truma for the Mishkan, where it says, malacha haisadayam. Excuse me, not the truma, but malacha haisadayam, that they completed the work. Do we count those or not? Becomes a question. So on surface value, we have two different opinions that are arguing with one another. But if you look in source 4, the opening line of Tosfos and that same daf, lochora nire de yalef. At first glance, it appears that they learn, that he learns, nami memishkan, that this second opinion that's going around counting the root word malacha in the Torah also learns from the Mishkan, like the first opinion. Shahari lekach nismecha parshas Shabbos leparshas Mishkan. Because they have to, because that's the whole reason that the Torah itself put the psukim related to Shabbos right before the Mishkan in Parshas Vayakel, at the beginning of the Parsha. Otherwise, why do we have that connection between the two? It must be that, on a very basic level, everyone learns from the Mishkan. But, you know, this second opinion needs this extra information. And we'll see a possibility as to why. But in the end, it seems like Tosfos rejects that. If there's anything, like, you need me to repeat or clarify, don't. I know I'm going kind of quickly because it's such a short.
Right, no, thank you.
But yeah, it's no issue. In the end, they reject then and say, "Ef Sharlo Markane, it's not possible to say this." Say what? Delo pligi. It's not possible to say that they're not arguing at arm. De kamar v'samuch tanya kaman damar keneged avodos mishkan mashma de pligi. Later, I highlighted this also in source 3, that the Gemara brings a brisa and it says Tanya. We have a brisa kaman damar keneged avodos mishkan that sounds to follow that opinion, implying that they really are separate and distinct opinions.
Why is it not? Because of Avodat Mishkan?
Oh, so Tosfos is looking at this.
Okay.
The Gemara, after bringing these two opinions, brings a Baraisa, and it says, Kaman Damar, there's a Baraisa, Tanya, that seems to follow this position. Kaman Damar, Avodat Mishkan. And if Avodas Mishkan were really what everyone is learning from, it wouldn't have said Kaman Damar, like this one person, like this opinion. It would have said, it would have just said Tanya, you know, much broader statement.
Okay.
He gives other reasons, but that's the most clear, the clear one for our purposes right now. And it happens to be, it seems like most other Mepharshim, the Rishonim, really follow that initial view of Tosfos that everyone is actually learning from the Mishkan, and then that will lead to two questions. Why do you need to have two separate ideas, one of the Mishkan and then the other one of counting up the word malacha? Once you have the Mishkan, you don't need to count the word malacha. But if you look in source 5, this is the Rashba. And again, in the highlight of Yesh Lomar, we can suggest that kulhu yalfei mimishkan, that everyone learns from the Mishkan. Nismecha parshas Shabbos melechas of Mishkan, because again, of that connection of the psukim in parshas Vayakel. Ele demar yalif kula milsa mimishkan. Rather, so what exactly are they arguing about at that point? If we all agree it's from the Mishkan, why do we seem to have a machlokas in the Gemara? Rather, that Mar, literally master, learns Kula Milsa Mishkan. He learns the entirety of the issue from the Mishkan. That's the first opinion. The Mar Lo Yalif Minyanan Mishkan. However, the second opinion, who counts the word Malacha in the Torah, does not learn the actual count of 39 from Mishkan. from the Mishkan. He learns that out from Malacha and Malachto and Malachas. And he would learn the actual parameters of each of those 39 from the Mishkan. Okay, then, so again, the Gemara seems to, it seems to be a dispute about whether or not we learn from the Mishkan. Fundamentally, the Rashba, as well as many others, are saying we do learn from the Mishkan. That's kind of our paradigm for what is Malacha. The actual count of 39 may or may not have come from the Mishkan itself, and that's what they're arguing about. And it's interesting, too, that this is just, in Source 3, we just saw the Gemara, meaning the Bavli. There's also the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi in Perek Zayin Halacha Beis goes and lists a number of, it asks the same question and it gives a number of answers, none of which involve the Mishkan.
Oh, really?
It certainly doesn't say Mina Mishkan. You know,
so then where do they get the...
They have, I don't have it right in front of me. I didn't put it in my notes either. I would have to look inside. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it's similar things to counting and certain gematriot and things like that. And it is actually on the back here. I put the link to an article. It's a long article in Hebrew, but very thorough, that just goes and tries to frame the dispute between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Which I haven't gotten all the way through the article on my own, but it's very interesting. And that's one of those things, too, where different Mefarshim will approach that issue differently. Some will say, well, we follow the Bavli and just reject the Yerushalmi, and others would say, maybe they're not arguing at all, and let's try and...
But everyone agrees on 39.
Yeah, in that article, he actually quoted, I think it was Rabbi Yehuda, seems later on in the Bavli Shabbos to present additional malachos on top of 39. But yeah, I mean, certainly the halacha, we assume 39.
Right. What are more, like, what else would you add to Shabbos?
I'll make a note and look at that. And I can either put that... I was going to upload this to YU Torah, so I can either put it in the little blurb on the page or just mention it next time. 39. And then just see your show. Okay. Right, so, I mean, obviously, once you start comparing the Bavli and the Shalmi and anything else that we can find, then things get much more complicated. But... That quite simply is how we typically approach it. And then in Source 6, it's Rabbi Eliezer Mumetz in Sefer Yerayim, where he presents this idea. I should have highlighted it, but it's really at the end, the last line. Amrinan elu hen shekpida ha-Torah alehen ki lo masra na kasu ele l'chachamim. That at the end of the day, he's kind of touching on why it doesn't just list off the malachos. It really, the Torah gave it over to the Chachamim. It's in their hands to delineate what the malachos are, which on its own is significant, but when you combine that with other areas that are related, namely Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed, the exact same thing pops up there. And so then they're all on the same level at that point. Level's not quite the right term, but In Surah 7, Rabbi Yosef Engel notes that we certainly say by Yom Tov that and Chol HaMoed, that we have Farshim saying that exact idea, that the Torah just says Lo Ta'aseh Kol Melacha, and then it was really up to the Chachamim to establish exactly what those were. Right, and it seems to make a lot of sense to say that Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Chol HaMoed are all of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Then why do we have different things, like Yom Tov?
Exactly, because then we have the Pasuk in Parshas Bo that talks about Ochol Nefesh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be able to get the wording of the Pasuk right, but the point being that we have a completely separate Pasuk that comes and gives us an exemption to these categories.
Mm-hmm.
But and even that, we typically limit, certainly lahalacha we limit, that we say ochel nefesh applies from melisha eilech. That you can do those malachos, but we're not going to let you go plant to grow bread or to go harvest on Yom Tov. Again, indicative of that same idea that it was really up to the Chachamim to figure out and delineate. Right, he goes on and quotes Rabbi Chaim of Tzanz, the Divrei Chaim, that this all makes a lot of sense because we have the Mishkan is kind of a microcosm of the world, and just as Hashem rested on from Malacha, from creating the world, so too we rest from creating the Mishkan. So the fact that we delineate all the Malachas from the Mishkan is hashkafically in line with that. Source 8, we're not going to do, but I put it on here just as a reference. The Rabbeinu Hanano goes through and explains what the 39 Malachos in the Torah were. Not the Malachos, but the term Malacha. Which Malacha...
Before they found the words.
Yeah, which Malacha... Malachis and Malachto they were counting, and which they were excluding. Fine. In source 9, I put a mechilta on here, which I haven't seen anybody explain really clearly, and I don't know entirely what to do with it. A very similar phrase pops up in the Gemara Shabbos on 70a and 97b. And those dafim where it says, Rabbi Omer Lehevi Shloshim Vitesha Avos Hamalachos Sha'amar Lehem Moshe Alpei. That Moshe said them Balpei. Meaning that these Malachos are certainly 39, and then the Malachos themselves are a part of the Torah Shabalpei. The Gemara says Moshe Mesinai.
If on Shabbos we don't create the Mishkan because Hashem rested, why do we talk about the korbanot that would have been brought in davening?
So we do bring korbanos. That's actually very interesting. We'll see more on that in just a minute. I don't know if it's fully going to answer your question, but... right now, we haven't said this explicitly in any of these sources, or really explicitly, but right now when we say from the Mishkan, that means from building and constructing the Mishkan versus serving in the Mishkan and offering karbanos. That's about to get more complicated, but yeah, that's the simple answer. There's certainly more to it in terms of why... Even still, that's not a complete answer because Teshecht is a malacha, so why is that allowed for a carbon? We'd have to. I didn't put that on here, and I don't remember the source of the limud for how we know that. I'd have to look that up. I don't remember it off the top of my head. In source 10, it's a little quote from Rabbi Yoel Ben Nun, where he sees the Lamates Malachos in the Pesukim themselves, in really the format of the Pesukim in Vayakel, which is fascinating just in contrast to what we've seen from Chazal themselves, and this the Mechilta, for example, that says it's within the category of Torah Shabbat Peh, and now he's linking it and maybe seeing the pattern that Chazal saw within the Torah itself, where he says, Nireisha Bereshis Parsha Seinu Nitan Limtzo Makor Acher, at the beginning of our Parsha Vayakhel, we can find an alternative source for Lamates Malachus, Mishuchanea Yoter. It's more... more compelling of a source. The Lamates Avos Malacha, Lamates Avos Keneged, Lamates Avodos HaMishkan, the different things that were done in the Mishkan. And he goes through, as a Mishkan, as Aulo, as Michsehu, as Karasav, as Karashav, all the different elements of the Mishkan that had to be built. The way he delineates it there, it comes out to be 39.
And then, is that just how he gets the number 39?
Yeah, I think
that... explain the
right, it wouldn't make any sense... Right, because when you're going with Asala, Michsehu, Karasav, Karashav, there's going to be overlap, and it's not, you're not going to be able to get to 39. This is really just a shortened version of the original piece that he has, where he kind of explains this idea. I think it's fundamentally, it has to be the mispar, the number. Even though he doesn't actually say that here. But that at the end of the day was, I think, how we read the Gemara and Shabbos, at least according to the Rashba, that everyone is agreeing that we learned from the Mishkan. It's just maybe some view the Mishkan as not being a sufficient source for 39. And just before we go on to the next section, quickly, this Mechilta that it says it's She'amar Lehem Moshe Alpeh, that it's part of Torah Shebal Peh. In this the article that I put in the link here, that's in that link, he has a footnote where he explains that Shabbos and Hilchos Shabbos is one of the big areas of Halacha that's been used to kind of, prove Torah Shebal Peh. That Torah Shebal Peh is authentic, because what does it mean that the Torah Shebal Peh only wrote Lo Taseh Kol Malacha? At most, it tells us Lo Sa'aviru Eish. Even though there might be hints to Hotzah, but it's not really saying anything.
How does that legitimize Torah Shebal Peh?
It's a good question, because I could just say, maybe people knew what malacha meant, and it just happens to be, I don't know what it means.
Doesn't it seem odd though that Shabbos is so important, and yet it doesn't say, like, there's not, Hashem doesn't even give, like, for other things, there's such a list that Hashem has given in the Torah, like, straight list of how to do things, like, especially like Parah Aduma, like, it's so specific, and yet for Shabbos, it just says, don't do malacha, and then we're expected to figure that out for ourselves. And it's,
right.
I mean, Shabbos is so important and so fundamental.
Yeah. That's a good question. Like, we could approach it. That seems more of almost hashgafic. Hashgafic in one sense, but also in terms of how does Torah Shebal Peh, what's the point of Torah Shebal Peh, and how does it work?
Right. Well, like, Parah Aduma happens, like, three times in, like, in the world, and yet Shabbos happens once a week, and
right,
so
it's a much bigger part of our
lives. Yeah, there's so much that we don't know and that we have to figure out, and, like, small details that, like, all it says is don't do malacha.
Yeah, it's a good question. Maybe we could reformulate it and say what's the significance of saying that the Torah gave it over to the Chachamim to establish malacha.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost a similar question. What's the significance of that? What is that supposed to teach me? Why?
Right.
And you're asking, why did it do that in the first place, too?
Right.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think they're operating under the premise that Lo Taseh Malacha, Kol Malacha, can't just be so vague. It's saying something, but it almost is vague to the point of saying nothing.
Right.
And so in order for it to say something, there has to be additional information, and that's Torah Shebal Peh. He gives actual sources. He quotes the Kuzari, Rabbi Akiva Eger in his letters, and different across Jewish history. Okay, very quickly, and then we'll end. So you have classes start right at 3:10, right? Okay. I mean, in the last couple sources, the dispute, which you kind of hit on earlier, of was it the actual construction of the Mishkan that we learned from, or everything about the Mishkan? So Rashi and many others say it's the Melechet Mishkan, the actual construction, versus and compared with Rav Haigon in 13, where he was asked, Zeria Katir, this is the end of the first line, Zeria Katir, Hayech Havai B'Mishkan. Where in the world do we see Zeria planting and harvesting in the Mishkan? Tshuva halo yesh b'karvan tamid kol yom asirius ha'efa asolus. You would have flour. You'd have different elements of karbanos that are brought from grains, and so you have to plant and harvest. But that's clearly not construction. That's karbanos, which goes back to your question of karbanos on Shabbos. Yeah. Okay. So, and then 14 we'll leave aside for now. In source 15, the last few sources, it was almost like a grab bag of just a few important principles to get in before we go on. We obviously have avos and toldos. Avos are those that are explicitly part of the Mishkan and the construction of the Mishkan. Toldos are those that are not. So how do we know it's a tolda and not something just completely separate and not us or b'klal? Source 16 in the Rambam gives two approaches, which many others reiterate, that in order to be a tolda, it has to be related back to the av, either by intent, meaning to say it has the same intention, this action, it looks different, but my intention is the same as the av, or the opposite, that it's the exact same act, even though my intention is slightly different. So, like, Zeria is putting a seed in the ground, and watering a seed is a tolda, because your intent is to cause growth, just like planting a seed in the ground, but the act is completely different. And that's actually, well, that's part of next week, actually. But,
thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a good day.
Thank you. Have a good rest of your